You know, there is a unique phrase that is used by the Apostle Paul in his writings. He says it is a trustworthy statement. And that phrase is not used by anyone else in the New Testament. And Paul only uses it in his writings when he's writing to young Timothy and young Titus. You know, he uses the phrase five times in writing to those young men. And I want us to examine each of those times that Paul makes that statement. But we're not going to examine all five of those this morning. But instead, we're going to examine each of these over the next few weeks so that we can see what these trustworthy statements are. And if they are worthy of such a statement or worthy of such a classification, then they certainly are worthy of our attention. You know, the core meaning of this phrase is that it is something that is certain. It is something that is absolute. And the phrase in the Greek is pistos logos, is what that is. And pistos is the word for faithfulness. It is the word that we use for our personal faith. I find that very interesting that the word that we use for our personal faith is a word that entails something that is certain, something that is real, something that is absolute. For that is what our faith should be. Our faith should be certain. It should be absolute in all times of our lives. It is that. So pistos logos, which means that trustworthiness that comes with faith. Also the word logos, which means word. It is what Jesus is called in John chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In that word there, every time you see the word, word, that is logos. And so, word in this bigger case is a saying or a statement or a word. The statements that have this phrase connected to them from that standpoint are absolutely reliable and can always be trusted to be God's word of truth. And so when Paul is making these statements, he's saying, I want to especially set this statement out here and let you know that this is absolutely the truth. And for us to pay attention to that. It is something to set these scriptures out in the text. This morning I want us to examine verse 15 of chapter 1, where Paul says, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. You know, this is the foundational statement for all the others. When we look at the other four, this is going to be the foundational statement for all of them. They all bounce back to this. They all come back to Jesus Christ coming to save the lost, coming to save this world from its own sins. In fact, the statement that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners is a summary of what the entire gospel is about. And I want us to consider the power of that simple statement made in regard to the gospel. This simple summary that Paul gives as a trustworthy statement, I want us to consider the power of that this morning. First of all, we must remember that this trustworthy statement is the paramount demonstration of God's love for mankind by seeking to extend salvation to man. You know, Romans 5 and verse 8 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The very fact of Jesus coming to this earth, I mean, even setting aside the cross, the very thought of Jesus Christ coming to this earth defies our limited ability to understand God's love. You have never known love from any human being in your life or any cumulative number of human beings in your life that amounts to just the love that it took for Jesus Christ to leave heaven and come here. To come and to be man. To set aside those things that were who He was as God. It's not even possible to express in words how far Jesus lowered Himself to become like you and me. In the flesh. Kurt, I thought you were going to read my text. And you did. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be asserted. Your translation may say grasp, but something to be kept or to put out there. But instead of having that, He emptied Himself of it, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. See, Jesus is God. Jesus is God in every way that God the Father is God, in every way that the Holy Spirit is God. So when we consider that and we see that, and we think about that He emptied Himself of those things that make Him God, that all-powerful nature, and He became flesh for you and me. That's incredible. It's unbelievable. Would we want to do something like that? I guarantee you, most of us, if we were told, how about you begin to live life on the level of, say, people I saw in Tanzania. In a one-room mud hut, no windows, no floor, no air, very little to keep the elements out. What if we asked you to, God asked you to make that your standard of living from this day forward? Would you be willing to do that? Would you want to do that? And folks, that illustration doesn't even begin to touch the hem of the garment of God emptying Himself of divinity and leaving heaven to come and be man. So we need to realize what Jesus Christ did when He came to this earth. In just coming to this earth, not even without having added on the death that He's going to die. It is an incredible thing. Think about these things. Don't think about them just on the surface, but think about the depth of them. He left heaven for earth. He left perfection for that which is incredibly flawed. He left painlessness for incredible suffering. He left perfect love for a world that is filled with hate. He left perfect truth to dwell among gross hypocrisy. That's what Jesus did in just leaving heaven. Why would He do these things? Why in the world? To save me. To save you. Isn't it wonderful to know that His doing those things for us is an absolute truth, and what He did and what He accomplished is always going to be true, and it's going to be something that we can take hold of in our lives? We should find great comfort in that, great encouragement in that. Because, see, Paul also added that statement here in this particular one. He adds right on the end of it that it's worthy of full acceptance. This is worthy for every person to see as important and to take hold of it. This is so great and so grand that every person should want it. Every person should have it in their lives. The doctrine that Jesus Christ came to save sinners is worthy for everyone to embrace. His coming was indeed for the whole world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, John says, but for the sins of the whole world. For everybody. And it's worthy of our acceptance. Somebody says, why should I obey Christ? Because He's worthy. Because He deserves it. No one else in your life deserves your admiration, deserves your loyalty like Jesus Christ does. Because no one else in your life has ever done what He has done for you. You know, second, the trustworthy statement that Jesus came into the world to save sinners should create the greatest motivation in us to serve Him. Paul wants young Timothy to have the same motivation that Paul has for preaching and teaching. This same salvation that Jesus came to provide, he wants Timothy to have this great motivation that's within him to bring others to this salvation. He's writing to encourage this young man. 2 Timothy, he's going to be encouraging him some more. But he wants him to have it. In verse 3, Paul states that he left Timothy with the charge to instruct men not to teach those things that are not right and true. He said, strange doctrines. I want you to instruct men not to teach those things that are not right and true. I want you to have them teach those things that are trustworthy statements. Those things that are absolutely true in every situation because they are from the truth of God. In verse 5, Paul tells him that the goal of our teaching is love. True love based in godliness, which Paul defines in the verse. It is a love based in inner purity. It is a love based on being guided by truth. It is as well a love that is based in faith in God that does not ever fail. It is in season and out of season, as he'll tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It is that which is always present within our lives in any circumstance. All these things are seen in Christ Jesus, and they drive us, they motivate us to serve Him and to be more like Him. You know, I think it was Charles Barkley, wasn't it, said, "I'm no role model," and you know, that man's absolutely right. He's not. Unfortunately, most of the people that land on our television screens in any form rarely are, right? Worthy of being role models. Tell you what, if you need a role model, if you're longing for one, you're looking for one, there's only one to have. And that's Jesus Christ. If you're going to spend your time modeling yourself after somebody, model yourself after the right somebody. Be motivated to be like Him. Who would you rather serve? I mean, if we think about this, who would we rather serve? For we can only serve two. There's only a single choice, and it's between two individuals. It is either between Christ Jesus or Satan. That's our choices. That's it. And there is no in-between. There is no gray. It is a black and white decision. Who would we rather serve? One who gave up everything to serve you? Or one who does everything to deceive you? The father of lies. The one who his only motivation for you is to see you lost for all eternity. Which one of those do you want to serve? Do you want one that is hate or one that is love? Which are we motivated to serve? You know, as we think about Jesus Christ, and unless we think about Jesus Christ and think about what He did, think about His sacrifice, we'll never be motivated to love Him. We'll never be motivated to serve Him. For it is in that sacrifice, it is in that coming to this earth, in that demonstration of God's love, as Paul said in Romans 5, it is in that that we find the motivation to live for Him. I want to help my parents. I want to do things for them. I want to make sure that they're cared for. Not because I have to, but because I want to. Because they have sacrificed for me over the course of their life over and over and over again. And that love demonstrated in sacrifice motivates me to take care of my parents. And let me tell you, my parents did nothing for me compared to Jesus Christ. I'm motivated, and I hope you are too, to serve Him, to accomplish His purposes in this world, to be like Him. Lastly, a faithful child of God is a shining example of Jesus' efforts to save. See, Paul says, you want an example of this trustworthy statement? You want an example of this fact? Are you wanting to see how Jesus Christ actually did this? Here I am. Take a good look, Paul says. I am the example. Look at me. I'm the worst of them all. I'm the chief of sinners. I persecuted Christianity. I caused Christians to blaspheme Jesus Christ. I killed. I imprisoned. I am the worst of them all. He says, look at me if you want to see that Jesus Christ is serious about saving people. Sometimes we judge and justify ourselves by looking at others. Well, I'm not that bad. You know, we look at somebody and go, I ain't done all that. And really, at the end of the day, as a result, we do not consider the fullness of our sins and what it took for Jesus to save me. For I don't care if you've only committed one sin in your life, and I seriously doubt there's anybody in this room that can boast that or would even dare to boast that. You better not boast that you haven't sinned, because John says you're a liar. So you have. That may be your one. If it's just one, Jesus Christ still has to leave heaven, still has to die on the cross, still has to shed His blood, still has to rise from the dead to save just you. Because God cannot and will not ignore sin. A price has to be paid. So we need to never somehow belittle what Christ did for us and what it took to save us. where it took the same amount of grace and the same amount of blood and the same amount of my Lord Savior Jesus Christ to save me as it does to save anybody. If Adolf Hitler had come to Jesus Christ in 1945, after killing millions, he could have gotten forgiveness, and it would have taken no more from God than it took from me. I need to understand what I've done to Jesus Christ and find the motivation in it. You know, verse 16 says, "Yet for this reason," Paul says, "I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in Him for eternal life." He says, "Yet for this reason," the reason being that Christ came to save sinners, "this is why I am and you are saved this morning, because He did that." Paul says, "For this reason, because this is the goal of Jesus, to seek and to save that which is lost, we have, just as He had, found mercy." This is why we talked about last year over and over, seeking the lost. How the seeking the lost is the greatest demonstration of Christ in our lives. Because this is why He came. This is the example that He left us. He came to seek and to save that which is lost, He said. That was His purpose. And if we are to be about His purpose, if we are about Him, about being like Him, then we're about that. That's why we spent last year focusing on that. But yet we still see that in every page is Christ, every page of the New Testament is about Jesus saving the sinner. And we are a part of that with Him. You know, I might be an example to the world of the great, you know, in Jesus Christ saving me, Paul says, I am a great example to the world of the great patience and mercy that Jesus Christ has for sinners. You ever thought about that? Man, what mercy it took for Jesus to take a man who was doing everything he could to destroy Jesus' people, to destroy his family. And to say, I want you. And to give patience to Paul. How many of you think God needs to be patient with you? I know He needs to be patient with me. I pray He's patient with me. I know I need His mercy. And the fact that I do, I hope and pray that people look and say, you know, what I see in Nathan or what I see in you or anybody, any child of God, I hope and pray that they see someone that is demonstrating this mercy and patience of Jesus Christ as they see Jesus Christ in their life. This is all about being that light, shining as that light before the world that others may see, not us, but Jesus Christ. And then when seeing us, that they may have the desire to be saved by Him, His purpose for coming, and that in that salvation they might glorify the Father, which is in heaven. My friends, it does not matter this morning what you have done in the past. Christ wants to save you right now. He can handle the past. The past is not a problem for Jesus Christ. He can forgive that. He can erase that with His blood. But He wants it right now. Today is the day of salvation, and there is nothing so bad that He is not willing, that He is not able, that He does not want to forgive you of this morning. The only thing between you and what Jesus Christ has done for you is you. The decision you make to allow Him to do what He came to do for you. The trustworthy statement, may it be true for you. You can be yet another example of His great mercy and patience like Paul. The great saving power of Jesus Christ in the lives of anyone, regardless of what their history may be. You know, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Jesus came to save sinners. Nathan's one of those. And thanks be to God for Jesus Christ and His mercy that He has shown to me And may we all, as children of God, pray that same prayer. Thanks be to God for the mercy in Jesus Christ who came to save me. Let Him show it to you. Let Him show that mercy, that patience, and that desire to save you this morning. See, He loves you. He loves you in a way that you will never fully comprehend, but it is a wonderful love filled with blessings and care and salvation. And it's very much like a parental love in that He knows what's best for you. Even though sometimes we don't realize it or we even disagree with it, He ultimately knows better, like a parent. And may we trust Him in that. Such love as well this morning should motivate you to respond to that love so that you may have salvation that is extended by an example of the power of Jesus Christ to save today. You know, you would be that. And the change is so incredible that you will say, look, Lord, look at what the Lord did to my life. Folks, if you are a child of God and you can't figure out the change in your life from the time you became a child of God to this moment, you're not looking hard enough or you haven't changed enough. He can change your life in ways that is incredible, that are unbelievable, if only we'll let Him. You know, as well, we need to give our lives wholly to Him. From this day forward, dedicated, just as He is dedicated to us, as He sits at the right hand of the throne of God this very day, making intercession. He is the way of the Father. It is a trustworthy statement that He saves sinners. If that's you this morning, we hope and pray that you'll respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you'll come to Him and respond to His love, His mercy, and His patience, knowing that He will save you because He wants to save you. Come believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be buried in baptism, having His blood washing away your past, washing away the sins of your past, to rise to walk a new life. A life that wants to be like Him. A life that wants to be an example to all of what Jesus Christ can do with someone. Hope and pray that you'll make that decision. If you're a child of God this morning, maybe you've strayed away. Maybe you've forgotten what Jesus Christ did for you and your motivation has waned. Come back to Him this morning and be an example of the faithful. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come as we stand, as we sing.